you stand. He'll stand with you. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, that was Steve Brown, and I'm Mike Kellogg. You're listening to Key Life, practical Bible principles for daily living. Now, here with Bible in hand is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible open, and I'll be making references to different passages of Scripture as we go along. This is a topical thing we've been doing the last few weeks. Talk about pain and suffering, what a Christian ought to know about that sort of thing in his or her life. We spent most of this week up to this point talking about Satan. It's pretty scary stuff. But now I'm telling you the truth about what the Bible says about how to deal with it. And the first thing we saw yesterday is learn to use the truth. Ephesians 6:14 and 6:17. Know what the Bible says. The Bible wasn't written so you would be religious. The Bible wasn't written so you could be a nice person. The Bible was written to give you the truth of the way the universe works. And I ended yesterday's broadcast that once you know the truth and you encounter Satan and everybody else is scared, you can say, oh, it's only you. Now let me give you something else you can do in dealing with the supernatural side of pain and suffering. Resist Satan. You take the first step. God will take the second step. By the time you take the third step, you'll know it was God who took the first step. Peter said, and this is 1 Peter 5:9, he says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and, well, that's 5:9. No, hold it. It's the only mistake I ever made, and the only one I made was when I thought I'd made a mistake. 1 Peter 5:9, Peter says, resist Satan, but the passage I was quoting was from James. James 4:7, to be exact. I'm doing the best I can. And James says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The worst thing you can do when you encounter Satan is to give up. Stand up and spit in his eye. Tell him to go to, well, it would be appropriate to say it in this thing. Tell him to go where he belongs. You'll be surprised at how often I almost said it. You'll be surprised at how often he does just that. Of course, resistance doesn't mean that you resist Satan in your own power. If you stand, God and all the powers of heaven will stand with you. It's sort of like a garage door opener in our house. We have a very heavy garage door, and my wife, who is very little, had trouble opening. So we put in an electric garage door opener. My brother, back when he was living, flipped the key and said, you know, that's an effective prayer life. It wasn't. It was that you hit the button and the garage door goes up by itself. All Anna has to do is to press the button. Door doesn't open because she's so pure. It opens because she possesses the button. Her little effort brings to bear all the electricity of the power company to open the garage door. Now, it's the same way with the Christian. When you stand and resist, you'll find a power that you never knew existed. Have you ever been in those evangelistic services where the evangelist says, turn to the person next to you and say, if you go, I'll go with you? I think that's cool. I think that really is it, because sometimes people are really afraid to go forward. And so the Christian's saying, look, if you go, I'll go with you. So they don't feel like they're standing out like a sore thumb. That's good. Well, you know, Jesus says that about us. If you stand, I'll stand with you. If you spit in his face, I'll make it powerful. If you resist, because of my power, Satan will flee. You think about that. Amen. Well, on Wednesday, we take some time to answer some questions. And then my pastor, Pete Alwinson, comes in on Friday, and we answer some more questions. And he is going to be coming in on Friday. But on Wednesday, it's our policy on Wednesdays to take some time for some questions. A couple of things. A reminder, Key Life is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA. Council is widely recognized as a Christian financial organization created to assure ethical monetary practices by its members. And then check out our website. It's really good. A lot of good stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. You can listen to today's broadcast, and the previous 30 broadcasts are archived there. It's www.keylife.org. And then one other thing, and we'll get to these questions. Appreciate your prayers. Tomorrow I'll be speaking for the Link Care Counseling Ministry Banquet in Fresno, California. And our dear friends out there, I'm looking forward to spending some time with them. So say a prayer, if you would. You might want to call the Link Care folks and see if they're, I think that may be open, but I'm not sure. You might call them if you live in the Fresno area and check it out. All right, to some of these questions. This is from Canada. How can I, as a Christian, learn to be content? Well, you don't do it. It's not something you do. It's not like turning off a faucet and turning on, you know, all those bad things that are happening to you. That's how you learn. That's God tightening the screws until finally you just say, shucks, I can't do anything. And then you begin to learn to be content. There's an old Russian story that I love. It's a parable about a woman went to a very wise man and said, my in-laws have come to live in our house and they're driving me nuts. I can't be content. What should I do? And the wise man said, do you have cows? And she said, yes, sir. Said, move the cows into the house. She said, what? And he said, move the cows into the house. I told you. I'm the wise person. I'm telling you what to do. So she moved the cows in. Came back the next week, and he said, how you doing? She says, awful. I got my in-laws and cows. I can't deal with it. I can't be content. He says, you got chicken? She said, yes, I've got chicken. Said, then move the chickens into the house. She said, are you crazy? He said, I'm the wise man. Do what I say. So she moved the chickens in. Came back the next week, and he said, how you doing? Said, it's awful. I got my in-laws, and I got these cows, and I got these chickens living in my house, and I'm going nuts. And the wise man said, you got pigs? She said, oh, no. She said, yes, I've got pigs. He said, move the pigs in. So she moved the pigs in. And next week she came back, and he said, how you doing? She said, I'm going crazy. It's awful. And he said, all right, move the horses and the pigs and the chickens and the cows out of your house. And she went home and did. Came back the next week, and he said, how you dealing with your in-laws? And she said, oh, they're wonderful. So God brings you to the point of being content, but not being unaware of the need for contentment. Father, I'm in a panic mode here. I'm going through a tough time. There's so much bad stuff in my life, and I'm not content with it. And you've got to work a supernatural work in me, and I ask that you do that. Make me content. Give me the peace that passes understanding. Now, you're never going to have that perfectly. You're not home yet. But it does make a difference. I know. I've been there. Sometimes I've done it wrong, and sometimes I've done it right. But I've done it right enough to be able to tell you that what I just told you is true. It's from Illinois. What is your position as a Protestant in regard to Mary? I respect her very much. I think she's the mother of the Messiah, God incarnate. I think Protestants sometimes ignore that fact and play her down. As a Protestant, what I believe to be a biblical Christian, I have some serious problems. And you ask, so I'm telling you, we have a lot of Catholic listeners, so I want you to know I'm not throwing rocks at you. But I have some serious biblical problems with Mary being co-redemptrix. With the Immaculate Conception of Mary, with a lot of the Mariology. So I think you guys go too far, and I think we don't go far enough. That sounds like who was the politician that was asked about a particular issue? And he said, some of my friends think this, and some of my friends think that, and I stand with my friends. But I am a Protestant, so I hold some pretty clear views on some of that. But I do think that we as Protestants sometimes ignore some things that are important. This is from Kentucky. Are our lives preordained? Yes. This next one's from Canada. Well, you know, I'll say more about it than that. Yeah. Our lives are preordained. Now, in a way that doesn't interfere with your responsibility and your freedom. I don't know how that works. Walter Martin, the late Walter Martin, who was a friend of mine, said he felt like it was kind of like a gigantic computer in heaven, that no matter what you put in, the right program came out. And he may have had a point. He was wise about a lot of things. But, yeah, R.C. Sproul said this. He said that if one molecule is out of place in the universe and not ordained by a sovereign God, then it's all up for grabs. And I believe that. But I also believe that we're responsible and we're free. And since we're dealing with issues that have to do with God, it should not be a surprise to anyone that we don't have it all explained. This is from Canada, B.C. Why is church membership important? Because you can't do it by yourself. I used to say from the pulpit, I don't care whether you join the church. You come and we'll feed you and hope that you stand because you're a member of the invisible church. Everybody's a member of the invisible. Who was it that said when somebody who had been saying, I'm not going to join your church because I'm a member of the invisible church, she came to him and said, you know, I'd like to be in the choir. And he said, why don't you just join the invisible choir? The institutional church really is God's institution. It's real. And I believe that you ought to find a place where the Bible is taught, where Jesus is exalted, where people love each other. And you ought to join up. You need to be a part of it. You need to do it publicly. And the second answer to that question, why is church membership important, is because, frankly, you can't do this by yourself. You just aren't, you're not that good. All right, this is an email. How can I get excited again about my faith? How can I get closer to God? Your second question is the answer to your first question. You know what we think when the fire is going down and the candle is flickering? If we go to a conference or retreat, that'll do it. It won't. We think that, well, if I can just read the Bible and do a lot of religious stuff, I'll get the fire back. It won't. It'll make it worse. Let me tell you something. You go to Him. And don't run. Just sit there. Say, Lord, I don't have any place to go, and my heart is cold. Would you do something? And I really believe that God likes to say yes to that particular kind of prayer. Well, I'm history. That's it. I got to get out of here. Be sure and give us the call letters of this station when you ride and call. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.